The Thing Outside My Window, submitted by Trayton. So I don't know if this was some kind of creature or just someone pulling a prank on me, but either way, it terrifies me to this day. I am 17 now, but this story happened when I was between 7 to 10 years old. I have experienced sleep paralysis before, and this was not the same thing. I woke up after having a nightmare, which I had almost every night when I was younger. But every time I woke up from one, I would lay in bed for a while. After about 10 minutes, I decided it was time to get up and get ready for school. As I turned my head toward my window being about 5 feet tall, I saw something walking back and forth outside my window. It was very short and was kind of slow. I laid there for about a minute, trying to figure out what that was. I thought it was my brother messing with me when he took my dog out, so I decided to get up and look out of my window. But right when my feet touched the ground, it stopped right in the middle of my window, like it heard my bed creak. Then it looked around for a few seconds, then stood up and started walking back and forth again. Right when it did, I realized that this was not my brother. At that time, my brother was getting close to 6 feet tall and he was 15. This thing was 5 feet tall at most and was very skinny and bony. I was too terrified to move. After about 5 more minutes of this thing just walking back and forth, it disappeared. It never came back, and I finally realized how fast my heart was beating. I eventually got the courage to move, so I walked into my kitchen and saw my mom and brother getting ready. I asked them if they saw anything, or if they had been outside walking around, but they both answered no. I have no idea what I saw that day, but I'd prefer not to see it again. Number 2. Skinwalkers, submitted by Air Sickness. About 2 years ago in a small town in Arizona, I was staying with my grandparents because my family and I were moving, but we needed a place to stay for a few months. It was a typical stormy night with very loud and hard wind, making the mobile home shake and groan. My family was going to my cousin's mission calling in Utah. However, I stayed home because I was sick, literally feeling under the weather. I was sitting in the living room watching 90s kids cartoons, and then I suddenly heard a knock on the door. That was odd, considering it was 10 at night, and my grandparents only get visits from older people, which I was sure would never be up this late. Anyway, I went into the kitchen and looked out the window over the sink, looking onto the porch. No one was there. I thought to myself that this was probably just the wind. I sat back down, but then heard someone call my name. It was my grandma's voice. I had heard of skinwalkers before, how they were known for imitating human voices. There were stories from my Navajo friends that they had seen some around here before, but me being the dumbass I was, I just sat there and waited for something else to happen. It could have just been my imagination, right? As I waited, I heard another rasp at the door. I slowly made my way to the door, while constantly looking behind me. When I opened it, nothing was there. I slammed the door and ran back to my chair. My grandparents had guns, but kept them locked up in their room. I was screwed. I waited another 20 minutes for anything else, but nothing happened. My uncle stopped by to check on me after I had fallen asleep, and he had said that there was a fox in the yard. I never stayed there alone ever again, not even when I visit to this day. Number 3. Mountain Man in the Appalachians, submitted by Awesome1021X. I don't think I've ever told anyone this story before, other than to reminisce with close friends on the accounts of what happened that night. This happened in July of 2015. And here's some background. My name is Chris. I stand at a ridiculous 6'7", and I did heavyweight boxing in high school. My best friends, Vincent and Brandon, are also tall and did some sort of sport in high school that required tough physical stamina. I can't remember exactly what it was. So we all love nature, and one weekend following our graduation, we decided that we would go out on a week-long camping trip up in the mountains. I knew of a spot near my granddad's cabin up in the Appalachians in a valley right in between two enormous mountains. Imagine the Sound of Music kind of valley. So once we got packed, the three of us piled up into my pickup truck and headed off. 5 hours go by until I passed my granddad's cabin, and we continued going down the trail for another hour until we pulled up to the opening of the valley. The sun had since set, and the sky was a watercolor of pink and scarlet. We bailed out of my truck and began setting up camp. Now, due to the immense population of black bears and coyotes, we all came armed. I had packed my Mossberg Maverick Model 88 12 gauge, with 2 3/4 Remington slugs and Federal Arms buckshot, more than enough firepower to stop an aggravated bear. I had parked my truck with the front end facing the entrance, while the truck bed end faced the valley. Our tent was facing directly in front of the truck bed. We had 3 chairs facing just outside of the tent, with the fire pit about 7 feet from the entrance of it. We also had 3 tiki torches lit up, setting up our basic boundaries of our site. It was about 11:30 at night, and we had just finished eating a campfire meal, and we were sitting around the campfire. I didn't have to worry too badly about getting firewood since I had packed my truck bed with plenty of it. I kept casually tossing in firewood until our fire had gotten nice and warm. About 20 yards to the left and right of us, there are thick woods surrounding our site. While we were sitting around, talking about anything and everything, our conversation was suddenly interrupted by strange noises of branches cracking and incredibly large footsteps crunching through the deep underbrush. We stayed quiet and listened carefully until it gradually dissipated. We brushed it off, thinking it had to have been a bear or some other sort of curious animal. It was about midnight when the noises started up again. We sat there in silence, and before long, we all reached for our guns and sat there. I grabbed my spotlight from the toolbox of my pickup truck and shined the bright light towards the wood line. There, standing just inside of it, were 2 massive red eyes. They almost looked like they were giving off their own incandescent glow. Judging from the height, I had to say the eyes were at least 7 feet off the ground. Vince and Brandon saw the eyes as well, and we stayed completely quiet. Eventually, though, Vincent couldn't help but ask, "What the hell is that?" His voice was shaky. "I have no fucking idea," I said, staying quiet. We all made sure our firearms were loaded, and we waited. My light drifted, and I caught another set of eyes. They were just as tall, if not slightly higher than the others. I took the light off of them and shuddered, not wanting to risk possibly attracting a bear, or whatever it was, watching us. We stayed cautious, but eventually turned in for the night. Nothing really happened most of that night. Fast forward 3 days, and nothing interesting or crazy really happened, and we stayed pretty busy, practicing shooting and doing some hiking. The next night, however, that's when everything went down. We had just finished doing some target shooting, and were coming back to our campsite. The sun was setting, and we had made it back just before dusk. We had gotten a fire going and were sitting around when, out of nowhere, a branch about as long as my leg came tumbling over our heads and landed about 3 feet away from us. We all ducked and got down and aimed all of our guns at the direction of where the stick came flying out of. It came from the exact direction that we had seen those eyes 3 nights ago. We stayed there, quietly waiting for anything to happen. Then, and I cannot lie about this, we heard the most blood-curdling, god-awful sound I think I had ever heard in my life. It was like a roar, a shriek, and cry all at once. I still have nightmares thinking about it. I trembled and whispered to Vince, "What in God's name was that?" He shrugged it off and also whispered, "Should we fire a shot?" Brandon beat him to it and fired, the sound of it bursting, bouncing off the valley walls. We sat there stunned, quietly waiting for any sound that came. Then boomed another screech, louder than the first one. From the bush emerged a massive creature. It was completely covered in thick, blackish-brown fur. His shoulders were broad, as in about 5 feet across. It had to have been 8 to 9 feet tall, but his face was completely devoid of hair, and what I could only describe as what a caveman would have looked like. We just stared at it, completely shocked and positively terrified. We shouted at it, thinking it might understand us, "Hey, what are you doing?" It stayed quiet, but watched us menacingly. The thing made a single step, and Vince fired another round. The creature stopped. It then proceeded to move back into the woods. We then, rather quickly, packed all of our shit up, and all piled up as quickly as we could back into my pickup. I floored it out of there. While I drove, I saw something that I can easily say scarred me for the rest of my life. That thing was keeping up with us. I was going at least 30 miles per hour down that path, and that thing had no damn problem keeping up with us. I could see it from the reflection of my fog lamps. Its hair was blowing in the breeze while it kept up to my speed. I tried going faster, attempting to drive down that god-awful gravel path. I pulled out past my grandfather's cabin and hit asphalt, skidding onto the road. I looked from my rearview mirror and watched as that thing stopped at the asphalt. It watched us as we snaked our way out of the vicinity of the woods. After that, we drove for 6 hours straight, not stopping until we hit a gas station out in the middle of bumfuck nowhere. We stayed there until the sun had risen just above the mountains. And ever since then, I have not went back, not even to the cabin. We have also not gone camping ever since. Number 4. Horrific Bigfoot Encounter. Submitted by Scared as Hell. The story I'm going to tell needs a little foundation. I was 15 the year this happened. I'm Native American, and I live in northern Nevada, in a rural area, so I grew up near animals and the outdoors. I was also a Boy Scout, so I knew how to identify most of Nevada and Idaho's wildlife. But the story I'm going to tell you just ruined the outdoors for me. Every time I go camping or hunting, I will think of this. Every time I smell garbage or a skunk, I think of this. When this happened, I was hunting with my brother, my two uncles, and my dad. We were going on a 3-night hunting trip. Where we were going had rivers, valleys, canyons, cliffs, and forests. It was on the edge of the woods in a valley. It was our annual campsite. In the valley was a river that cut through the middle of it and ran into a natural lake that held trout, bass, and white fish. When we had nothing to do, we would spend our time swimming or fishing. The water was cool and clear and attracted a lot of wildlife. I once watched a mountain lion and her cub drink from the water. I heard all these stories about mountain lion attacks, but they are timid and shy. It was the second evening when we were sitting by the campfire joking and laughing, when we smelled a very putrid odor. It smelled like a garbage dump on a warm day. It sort of smelled like a skunk. But then my uncle said in a scared and serious tone, "Let's go into the camper." I went inside like he said, laid down, and went to sleep. It must have been around 1:30 in the morning when I woke up to our trailer rocking in the same odor that we smelled earlier. I was confused. At first, I thought it was a cow or something pushing its head against the side of the trailer. Then I remembered the look on my uncle's face, and it sent chills down my spine. I tried to go back to sleep when I heard footsteps on the roof of the camper. I had to go use the bathroom, so I grabbed my .22-250 and slowly opened the door. I glanced around for a little bit, then I took off for the side of the camper. I stopped and looked at the roof. There was a black figure that was crouched down and staring right at me. I was scared to death, so I fired a round into the air to scare it off. It hopped from the position onto the ground and bolted for the tree line. When it got there, it looked back and let out the ugliest, most blood-curdling cry I've ever heard, and I wish I will never hear that cry again. I still go hunting in those woods, but I've never went overnight or near that spot again. Number 5. Real Chupacabra Sighting. Submitted by Patty Pat. I live in Utah, a state that is often overlooked when it comes to the paranormal. However, I can assure you that this state has had more than its fair share of strange happenings. From the Bear Lake Monster in the north, Skinwalker Ranch in the south, and even some Bigfoot sightings in the mountains. The one thing I never thought I would see was the fabled Chupacabra. This happened about 2 days ago, so I figured I would write this down while the encounter is still fresh in my mind. My friends and I were on a late-night drive through a canyon near Salt Lake City. We often go on these drives as there isn't much to do on a weeknight in SLC. We had just turned the corner, when the headlights caught something across the road. At first, I thought it was a coyote, as this thing was the same size and relative shape. However, as we got closer, I could see that it was walking strangely, almost as if it was hopping or galloping. Even more strange was the fact that it seemed to be missing a lot of hair. Now, I would be willing to accept that it was a coyote suffering from mange if it wasn't for what I saw next. It had abnormally large and powerful-looking hind legs, and when it turned to face the car, I saw long fangs protruding from its muzzle. After we safely exited the canyon, we were all a little shaken up and decided to call it a night. I won't be back to that canyon for a while. Number 6. Not too long ago, I lived in the middle of the woods on top of a hill. To get to my house, you had to drive up a long, winding dirt road, pass a couple of chicken houses, get out of your car to open a gate, drive through, then shut the gate, and drive up more dirt road with woods on all sides. It was worth it for the peace and beauty of the place, or so I thought. You see, as I was driving home one night after getting off work, I was dreading getting out of my car to open the gate. Everybody hated opening that gate. The only reason it was there was so that the local farmer's cows didn't get through and get lost in the woods just beyond it. So, tired and dirty, I got out of my car at about 10:30 at night and opened the gate. Then I got back in my car and drove through. I put the car in park to go and close the gate behind me, but I noticed something strange up ahead. Something was catching the light from my headlights. I squinted my eyes and I nearly died when I saw it. Crouching low to the ground and peeking out from behind a tree was a pale, bony, thin figure. Two eyes reflected green from my car's lights. It stood painfully still, staring at me. It was so still that I wasn't entirely sure that it was actually a living thing. I was paralyzed in fear, just waiting and hoping that my eyes were playing tricks on me. It was then the inhuman creature pulled itself back behind the tree. I shoved the car into drive and floored it up the hill. I was so painstakingly afraid as I drove up, especially because the tree with that thing behind it was only a few feet from my passenger door as I passed it. I didn't care about the farmer's cows escaping with the gate open. Whatever that thing was, it looked like it had come from my nightmares, and I wasn't about to get out of my car with that thing in the woods. To this day, I don't know what it was. It peered at me from behind the trunk of a thin tree, and when it pulled away, its movements were sickeningly unreal, like a marionette on strings. It happened so fast I didn't get many details save for the shape and color, but I do know it wasn't normal. It wasn't right. It wasn't any animal that roamed these lands that I had seen before. Thank God I don't live there anymore, and thank God I don't have to open that gate either. Number 7. It Wasn't Dad by Vanessa. So this happened to me when I was about 6 years old. It was my first paranormal experience, and let me assure you that it was by far the most traumatic. Nothing I have experienced since then has topped this encounter. Back in 1999, I lived in Midland, Texas. My brother and I had been playing in the living room during a really bad thunderstorm at night. I have no idea where our three younger siblings were, asleep, I'm guessing. My mother was in the kitchen washing dishes and singing. As we were playing and running around, I remembered I had homework to do. I told my mom I needed to get my backpack out of the car, then headed to the door that went into the garage directly behind her. She just nodded and kept singing her songs. As I headed through the door, she told me to be sure to close the door behind me. I said okay and headed into the garage. As soon as I shut the door behind me, I got this sudden rush of fear. It was raining really hard, and the thunder and lightning echoed in our garage. So I'm 6, I'm in the garage alone, and it's dark and rainy outside. So of course, any kid would be scared. Logical, right? Our garage was the automatic kind and had windows at the top. I kept my eyes facing our car because I was afraid I'd see a monster if I looked out the windows. I opened the car door hopped inside, and started making my way to the very back of the car to grab my purple Pocahontas backpack. As I was making my way, the fear I was feeling intensified, and the atmosphere started to feel really uneasy, like I was in danger. It was weird and hard to explain, but it seemed like every second that passed, the uneasiness grew. I kept my eyes looking down, grabbed my backpack, and started to pick up the pace to get out of the car and back in the house. I hopped off, slammed the door shut, and started speed walking to the door. Right as I was about to grasp the door handle and make it back to my sanctuary, there was a knock behind me. I panicked, and I don't know why, but I quickly turned to see who was there. It was my dad. Let me give you a little backstory about my dad. At the time, he used to be a truck driver and would be gone for weeks at a time and home for a few days because he was a workaholic. So all we could do was have short phone conversations with him because it was back when you had to buy minutes and they were expensive. When he would come home, it was always hugs and kisses when we saw each other and lots of I love yous. He may have been gone a lot, but when he was home, he was an amazing dad and would take us everywhere, our favorite place being Discovery Zone. He would chase us through the tunnels and ball pits. When he would arrive home, or we would go pick him up at the truck stop, he always had his sunglasses on and his army bag over his shoulder, holding it by the straps. That is exactly who I saw standing on the other side of the garage window. My dad, with sunglasses on and his right hand holding the straps of what I assumed would be his army bag of clothes. I let out a sigh of relief. "Oh, it's just you, Dad," I thought to myself, and the biggest grin came across my face. The atmosphere remained the same, but when I saw my dad, the fear eased. But he didn't smile at me like he usually did, after being away from home for a long time, and he didn't speak. He looked emotionless. He then began pointing with his left hand. No smile, no emotion, only pointing to something. I started looking for what it was. I pointed to a box on the floor. "The box?" I asked. He shook his head as if to say no and kept pointing. I pointed to several other things and he patiently mentioned a no every time. He just kept pointing. Finally, I looked above me beside the door behind me, the green glowing button, the one that opened the garage. I pointed to it and looked at him. "The button?" I asked. He nodded his head in approval and motioned for me to push the button. I was about to do it, and suddenly the feeling of danger and fear came back, even more overwhelming than the first time. Something was wrong, really wrong. A voice in my head told me not to open the garage. I looked at Dad, so afraid I couldn't speak anymore. I shook my head, declining to push the button. He motioned again, this time aggressively. And again, I declined. This time, my eyes started to water up. He then put his pointing hand down and stared at me for what felt like forever, but couldn't have been more than 10 seconds. His expression changed from apathetic to angry. He just stared at me, and I stared back, paralyzed with fear. Then he lifted his hand back up, but it wasn't a hand anymore. They looked like claws. I remember him scratching the window and hearing it screech like nails on a chalkboard. I was finally able to snap out of my paralyzed state to run inside. I don't actually remember running inside. All I recall is turning around to get in and next just sitting on the couch, traumatized. My brother knew something was up because I had been all shits and giggles with him earlier. He grabbed my shoulder and gave me a light shake. "What's wrong, Vanessa?" I don't even think he got to finish that question before I started screaming my head off and having a panic attack. My mother dropped what was in her hand and came running to my screams of bloody terror. My brother gave my mom an "I didn't do it" look, and she bent down beside me asking what was wrong. I could barely speak through my sobbing. All I could say was, "Daddy is scaring me." She couldn't understand what I was trying to say and asked, "Where?" I pointed to the garage, and she stormed off in that direction. I cried for her not to go, afraid the monster would get her. She came back in, saying there was no one there. After I was able to calm down, I told her what had happened and started the sobbing process all over again, since I was reliving this moment. She called my dad. He was 435 miles away in Houston, Texas. Nowhere near us. They spoke for a bit more, and she handed me the phone. My dad prayed with me and told me to never be afraid, to just call upon Jesus to help me, and that the bad things wouldn't bother me again. I slept with my mom that night. Here's the disturbing part. The next morning, she went out to check the garage. There were claw marks on that window. I think before she thought it was just my imagination, a kid just afraid of the dark and a thunderstorm, until the scratches proved otherwise. We moved lots of times since then, and we now live in a different city. I'm 22 now. I haven't been able to go into the garage at night alone until a few years ago, but I can't be in a room where the mini blinds or curtains are open at night. My heart begins to race, and my breathing becomes unsteady. It still scares me to think about that night. I still have all these unanswered questions. Why was it wearing sunglasses at night? Why did it happen to me? And the scariest question I ask myself, what would have happened if I had opened the garage? Number 8. Large Mysterious Creature. This happened a few years ago. I was staying at my sister's house in rural Oregon. She lived right by a big forested hillside. While I stayed at her house, I usually slept with the windows open because she had a lot of pets, and I have pet allergies. I'm a cat lover, though, so the cat would usually sleep in my room regardless. My room was on the second story of the house, with the windows facing toward the hillside. The hillside was roughly 50 yards from the actual house, with a small field in between. So one night at around 1 in the morning, I was up on my laptop playing some Warcraft when the cat jumped onto my windowsill and started growling and hissing. Then I heard a very large thing start crashing through the brush on the hillside at a running pace. It was running down the hill, and the noise was getting louder. Every time it got to the bottom, though, it would run back up. This went on for about 10 minutes. Then, when it reached the bottom another time, I heard what sounded like some kind of animal squealing in pain. It was ear-piercingly loud. At that point, the cat stopped growling and ran out of my room, and I just sat there, with my face pressed to the screen on my window, trying to see whatever this thing was. I could hear the bones snapping on whatever it was eating. Then I heard it exit through the brush, and it stepped into the field. The thing was huge. I could feel the vibrations from its feet hitting the ground from the second story of the house, but it had to be about 40 yards away. I still couldn't see it in the darkness, so I went to find my flashlight. Once I found it, I shined it out the window. The thing was in the yard. It was on all fours and was still pushing about 5 feet tall. It had pale gray blood-covered skin and a bear-like face, but with gaping eyes, and was staring right at me. It snarled its teeth and made a growl. I honestly thought it was going to climb up the fire escape and kill me. I was frozen in fear, just staring at this thing as it took a few more steps toward me. All of a sudden, the cat came rushing back into my room and back to the windowsill and growled back at this thing. It glared at the cat for a moment and then retreated to the hillside, crashing through the brush again on its way back up. I followed it with my flashlight beam and saw a pair of glowing eyes once it got back to the top, as if it stopped to look back. Then they disappeared. I closed my windows, shut the blinds, and tried getting some sleep, but had nightmares about that thing. The next day, I asked my sister and her husband if they heard or saw anything the night before, and they didn't. I have no idea what that thing could have been, but the fact that I could feel its footsteps made it all too real. It could have easily gotten into that house. Number 9. Grandma and the Dog Man by Wyatt Huey. Here's some background. I live in Arizona, and my aunt is Navajo. So one night, I was with my grandma in northern Arizona when she herself and my aunt, who is also Navajo, saw what she called the Dog Man, but my aunt called it a skinwalker. She said, as they drove through the woods just before the city of Sholo, Arizona, they spotted on the road what seemed to be a large mass of fur. A dead animal, my grandma thought. It may have been a dead elk, because of its massive size, she thought, until it stood up on its hind legs. She says it must have been 7, maybe even 8 feet tall. She said it had the body of a muscular man, and its hands had long, dagger-like nails. But its head, she told me, its head was not human. My aunt said it had the head of a coyote. Its eyes glowed bright yellow. My grandma slammed on her brakes, and it just looked at her. And with one step, it was off the road and gone in the darkness of the pine trees. She said it was the most terrifying thing she had ever seen, and she'll never forget it. Number 10. Motorcycling Encounter from Greg. This incident took place in the spring of 2005 on a road called Spooks Hill Road. Go figure. The road borders a reservoir and gets relatively deep into the woods. At the time, I was 17 and riding my motorcycle back from my friend's place. It was the time of day where the sun had already set, but it wasn't quite nighttime yet. The sky was a dark blue and the woods were pitch black. I think it's called twilight. I was on a sport bike and thoroughly enjoying the twisty nature of the road, fairly in excess of the posted 25-mile-per-hour speed limit. I had my high beams on to see further through the turns and came upon a wider right turn in the road, with the guardrail on the inside of the turn. The reservoir was also on the right side of the road, but there were a few hundred feet of woods between it and the road. As I came upon the apex of the turn, I was a few feet away from the guardrail and saw what I can only describe as a 6 or 8-year-old girl on the outside of the guardrail. She wasn't illuminated per se, but the headlight definitely made her white clothing light up. She appeared to be wearing a gown of sorts, almost like one of those old-timey nightgowns. Her hands were on the guardrail, and I saw her head follow me as I went by. I was probably going 50 or so at the time, so I didn't have much time to look at her. But what stuck out the most was she had no face. There was just black there. The closest image of what her face looked like was the thing from the Muppets Christmas Carol. The hairs on my neck stood up so fast that it stung. As soon as I was able to, I slowed to a stop. The rational part of my brain told me there might be a young girl lost in the woods. The primal part of my brain was telling me to get the hell out of there. I had gone too far past the turn to see the apex where she was, so I turned around. I slowly went by the turn, looking at the spot where she had been, and saw nothing. No one. Then I tried to reproduce the incident by going by that fast again, hoping it was some sort of optical illusion with the headlight. Still, nothing where she was. After the incident, I rode home. There, I told my grandmother about the incident and how thoroughly creeped out I was. My grandmother, a super religious lady, said she believes it may have been my guardian angel and that its appearance forced me to slow down, possibly preventing me from hitting a deer or something. I'm not very spiritual at all, but it is a nice perspective on something that was truly creepy and hard to explain. Number 11. Wendigo at the Window by Blue Green. When I lived in Nebraska a few years back, I experienced the most terrifying moment of my life, and it was all thanks to that damned window. Our house was situated at the top of a hill with woods on all sides. I'm talking woods only yards away from the outside walls of the house. It was gorgeous, probably the nicest place I had ever lived. But at night, the scenery took on a most sinister vibe. Let's just say those woods are a place you don't want to be when the moon is full. Anyway, my room was at the back of the house. It was a pretty big room with its own bathroom and closet and a massive window just above my bed. At the time, I enjoyed the window just above me as I slept. The moon was beautiful at night, beaming through the glass. But that peace was all about to change. I woke up from a strange dream in which a weird man had been tapping at the front door and peering at me through the side window. The tapping got louder and louder until it literally pulled me awake. I shook it off and decided I'd get up and grab a glass of water. Picking up a cup I kept on my side table, I walked to the bathroom and ran the faucet. Tap, tap, tap. My heart nearly sank. It was the exact same sound I had heard in my dream only moments before. I quickly turned off the faucet and listened closely. Tap, tap. Instinctually, I turned to that noise, and I regret doing so to this day. I saw a finger on the glass. It was a blur, but I caught a glimpse of pale white wrapping ever so lightly against the surface. It wasn't 5 seconds later before I saw it again. This time I nearly fell to the floor. It was no finger tapping on my window. It was pointed at the end, dirty as well as pale. Not to mention the finger itself was probably 10 inches long. It sounds unbelievable. I wish it didn't actually happen. I wish this was fake. But that's not even the worst of it. I could see condensation on the window where this man or this thing was breathing. Slow, steady, calm, unlike me. But when it pressed its face against the cold glass, I screamed and screamed, letting the glass of water fall from my hands. Seconds after it shattered on the floor, my parents were in my room turning on the lights. The thing at the window was gone, but I was still in tears. I told them what happened. Luckily, my father believed me enough to check outside by my window. I begged him not to go outside, but he headed out anyway. My mother held me in her arms, trying to calm me down. A few minutes later, my dad finally came back. I was relieved until I saw how ghostly white his face was. It wasn't until a few days ago that he told me why he was so afraid that night. That's the reason I'm sharing this now. He told me that he went outside and could see a chip in the glass that had not been there before. And he found a bony, long, too thin footprint.
Number 12.
Strange tiny creature. From D. Sama. This story takes place in the early 1960s. It happened to my father and his elder sister. He was around 5 years old and she was around 13. Please bear with me. English is not my native language. At that time, my father was living with his family, his father, his mother, and his sister, in his native village in Africa, on the Ivory Coast. It is a small village of around 1,500 to 2,000 people. When they were not at school, my father and my aunt accompanied their parents to the field. To explain a bit, in our country, it's not like in Europe or the U.S. where the fields are nearby farms. Here, the fields are located far from the villages, sometimes 5 to 10 kilometers in dense forest. So, every morning except Sunday, the villagers walk 2 to 3 hours through the rainforest to reach the fields, work, and around 4 in the afternoon, they make their way back, again through the forest, to return to the village before it gets dark, carrying either food or firewood. There's really no road, just narrow trails in the forest. It can be scary, but usually it is pretty safe if you stay on the trails. You can see snakes, foxes, monkeys, birds, and all kinds of animals. There used to be elephants and big cats out there, but they are long gone, thanks to deforestation and poaching. Well, one day, my father and his sister accompanied their father in the field, and everything was going as it usually did. On their way back, their father carried a heavy load. He walked more slowly, so my aunt and my father had only a little bit to carry, and they walked faster and pulled ahead of him. My aunt led the way. They both walked quickly and did not speak because they were eager to get home. Suddenly, my aunt had a strange feeling of emptiness behind her. She turned to see that her little brother was no longer there. Surprised, she started shouting his name, but there was no answer. She began to panic. The forest was huge. Where could he be? She threw down her load and ran back the way they came. For several minutes, she saw nothing. Then, she spotted, several meters in front of her, on the trail, a tiny creature, about 3 feet tall. And this little creature was carrying a little boy on his back. She said that the thing was turned away from her. She stared in shock. Then she shouted loudly to the creature, "Hey, you!" Then the creature turned toward my aunt. It definitely wasn't human. And it was her brother on its back. When the creature saw her, it started running, still with her brother on its back. My aunt ran after it. The creature jumped off the trail and into the dense forest, but my aunt followed suit and jumped off the trail as well. She pursued them through the forest for several minutes. She was faster than the encumbered creature and soon caught up to it. She lunged at it, screaming, "Give me back my brother! Give him back!" She grabbed at her brother and pulled him toward her. The creature also grabbed him. Then, seeing that my aunt was clinging hard for dear life, he let go of him and fell to the ground. And the creature just vanished before her eyes. The brother was groggy and looked in a daze. My aunt took him by the hand, and they ran home as fast as they could. Once they got there, they explained to their mother and father, who had beat them home, what happened. They immediately asked how he had gotten on the back of this creature. The boy said he was walking behind his sister when the creature appeared and asked if he was tired. He nodded, and the creature told him he could climb on his back, rest, and he would carry the boy home. The sleepy boy agreed, but he only saw his father, not the creature. All that time, the boy saw himself being carried by his father, even as the sister pursued and tackled him to the ground. No one ever knew what actually happened. Only my aunt did. Sometimes there are cases of disappearances of young children who are last seen in the forest. Even when I was younger, I was always told to stay with the group and to never come to those who call us into the forest. Number 13. Creature in the Bogs. As I am writing this, I am 14 and living with my family in Massachusetts. About 70 feet behind my house, there is a smaller cranberry bog, and further behind it is at least half a mile of more cranberry bogs. To the right of the large sets of cranberry bogs, there are woods, and throughout these woods are trails just wide enough for a bike to pass through. The first event here involves the smaller cranberry bog. It was the summer of 2013, and at the time, the grass was quite tall in the bog. I do not remember the exact day, but I do know it was late in August, as this happened around my birthday. That night, I had went swimming in my pool after the sun had went completely down. After about 5 minutes, I began feeling uneasy, as if something was watching me. Then, there seemed to be more noise in the tall grass than just the wind blowing through. So I decided to dry up and head inside. At the time, I had no belief that there was anything more than a coyote or deer. My room was on the second story of the house, and the window faces in the direction of the box, so I could easily see anything going on behind my house. After I'd gotten ready for bed, I went to go close the shade of my window when I was utterly frozen in fear by seeing two red eyes looking right at me from the cranberry bog. I knew they were eyes because I could see them slowly back away from the house as if it had been noticed, not just reflectors or taillights of a car. I could not make out whatever it was, for it was dark and there was no moonlight. But due to its height, it must have been on two legs. We had made eye contact for no more than 20 seconds before it started to back away, and I rushed to close the shades. I jumped into my bed and under the covers. Still terrified, I began to wonder what I had just witnessed. After I calmed down a bit, I did not believe that what I saw was true, because it was just unexplainable. The thing was so tall, and I just thought I was young and my eyes were playing tricks on me. Before writing this, I had only begun to connect two different unexplainable events, only now believing them myself because of how they are related. In the winter of that same year, my dad and I went snowshoeing out in the woods with my dog. It snowed a decent amount the day before and was still snowing just as hard that day. While walking to the woods through the bogs, it was difficult to see into the distance, making me feel isolated and extremely aware of my close surroundings. After walking about 20 minutes into the woods, I saw something I thought looked like a full set of ribs large enough to be that of those of a deer. I began to think we had walked right into something's hunting ground, still thinking it was a wolf or coyote, not something strange. My dad told me that it was just a strange-looking part of a fallen tree, but I knew there were no trees big enough to have a trunk that wide. After 3 more minutes of walking, I noticed something even more strange. There were large footprints that went by the trail. They were not any person's boot prints, or footprints, for that matter, because they certainly had toes, and were way too large for any human. Looking back now, it could not have been any animal that would have naturally been in those woods. I didn't recognize those prints from anything I've seen before. We walked for 10 more minutes, all the while I was begging Dad to start and head back, because I was tired, and I didn't like the idea of snowshoeing through a predator's hunting ground. Again, not suspecting anything more than a wolf or coyote. When I began to think of that first memory, I started to see that the creature with red eyes could be the same creature that left the set of ribs behind, as well as those strange footprints. So, I began to believe I truly had seen those red eyes that summer night. Another incident that could be related to that same creature is that my neighbor's house also has the small cranberry bog behind their house. I won't candy coat it, and I will say that they have a lot of money and could spend that money on unnecessary things. My neighbors had bought that land in 2014, and a friend that lived in the house told me it was because their parents did not like the noise that the workers were making and would just buy the land. What my friend did not realize was that no one had been working in that bog, as the cranberries had not even been harvested. I should mention that the workers started the growth of the cranberries a few months before. And even if people were working, I've heard them before, and they're not that loud. My neighbors must have been hearing something else. Now I believe that this creature had went rummaging around their backyard and deck that was right behind their house, and that the neighbors bought the land to stop the growth of cranberries because they must have thought the animals making noise would go away. They must have seen something, or they would have just told my friend their exact motives, but did not want to scare her. I still don't exactly know what I saw that summer night, or exactly what it was doing so close to my house, but I do know it was something not many people have witnessed, and fewer unlucky enough to see it in the light of day. Number 14. Wendigo on the Mountain by V-Star. During the summer of 2013, I was living in Arkansas near Mount Magazine with my roommate, Austin. We were avid hikers, and Arkansas is one of the best places for hiking, camping, and the like. So you better believe, we were out there every weekend, enduring the terrain and enjoying the natural beauty of the place. Then, all in one night, my passion for the outdoors ceased to exist. Austin and I had been planning a weekend to hike around the woods near the base of Mount Magazine, but we had both been pretty busy. Then, by chance, our weekends opened up, and we were able to set out. We headed out on a Saturday morning and would leave on Monday morning. We didn't work on Mondays. It was all set. Our gear had been pre-packed a week in advance. I drove my truck out to a small dirt road where we parked it a bit off the path and locked it up. A park ranger wouldn't be very happy about someone just leaving their truck on the side of the road and camping off the trails and paths. But this is what we did. It seemed more natural and exciting that way. Plus, we were away from other campers. That alone made it well worth the trouble. Throwing on our packs and grabbing our gear, we headed into the woods. After walking about an hour and a half in, we settled down and put up tents. It was a bit early to be setting up camp, but a nearby pond had Austin's blood pumping. So, of course, we grabbed our poles and found a couple of good spots by the water. It was a very misty day. The sky was quite gray. There was fog rolling over the large pond, almost a lake. The scenery was absolutely beautiful. But all of that serenity was broken suddenly by a crash. It sounded like it came from the other side of the pond. Both our heads jerked up. Yet, there was nothing there. Austin went back to fishing and whistling a tune I didn't recognize. But I felt awed, to say the least. It was as if I could feel eyes on me, under someone's watch. I couldn't concentrate on fishing like he could. I know it was probably a fish that had jumped out of the water, or a rock slipping and falling in. Maybe I was just paranoid. Horror fans usually are. Well, the moment we heard that disturbing hissing sound behind us, I knew my fears weren't unsubstantiated. All at once, we jumped, dropping our fishing poles and turning toward the noise. Before us was what appeared to be a very pale, hairless creature on all fours. Though its limbs were similar to a person's, it was the shape of those limbs that confirmed that it was not human. Its arms were impossibly thin and bent at a wrong angle, not to mention they had to be a bit longer than its legs. The nails were disgusting and dirty, sunk into the earth below it. The thing spat its inhuman hiss at us once more before it vanished into the woods behind it. From the time we saw it, to the moment it disappeared into those trees, it could only have been a few seconds. The speed at which this thing moved on all fours was staggering. It was faster than I've ever seen any person run, almost like a large dog at full speed. We stood there, staring down the edge of those woods for about 10 minutes, not uttering a word. Eventually, we grabbed our stuff. Obviously, both of us were shaking as we could barely pick up our poles. The walk back to camp was chilling. We walked almost back to back, trying to see in every direction at once. I personally have never been more afraid in my life. Back at the campsite, I began packing up my stuff when Austin grabbed me by the shoulder and spoke. "What are you doing?" "What do you mean?" I asked, surprised at his confusion. "I'm leaving. We're leaving." "We've been planning this, man. Come on. We should at least stay the night." I glared at him. "Are you kidding me right now, man? Did you not see that thing? I don't care if it's 3 states away by now. I don't want to be here." "Dude, don't be a wuss." I could have slapped him right then. We had just seen something out of a freaking nightmare, and he wanted to spend the night. "We can share a tent," he compromised. "Fine." I laid my stuff back down. We started a fire and tried to take our mind off of things with a bit of badly played guitar music and some PSPs we had brought. Yeah, we loved camping, but we also loved Monster Hunter. Besides, I needed to take my mind off of anything forest-related, and gaming was perfect for that. The night settled down. The fire crackled. Austin began nodding off. I could see him, trying to keep himself awake. He must have still been a little bit spooked. We had already gotten inside our sleeping bags in one of our tents. I tried to stay awake, my ears picking up any and every noise outside as I watched the fire cast shadows on the tent walls. Yeah, I know, we shouldn't have kept the fire going. But now, more than ever, I think we both needed a little light. I did unzip the bottom of the tent, though. Enough to see the fire's base to make sure it didn't go out of control. I did not expect to get any sleep that night. But somehow, I did. I woke up in the middle of the night. God knows how late it must have been. The moment I realized that I had slept, my eyes widened, and I sat up in my sleeping bag. Almost immediately, I regretted making so much damned noise. Because there was a shadow cast upon our tent by the fading fire. A shadow that wasn't ours, with heaving shoulders and a grotesque body. Someone outside was crying. I lay back down as quietly as possible. But nylon has got to be the noisiest material on the planet. Whoever was out there had to have heard me, but they didn't turn or leave. They just kept crying, or what sounded like crying. As soon as my head hit the thin pillow, my eyes not breaking contact with the shadow, the open portion of the flap revealed everything to me. This was no person. It had very familiar, veiny, pale skin, and impossibly thin legs. That thing sat there, sobbing next to the fire for 2 or so hours. There's no exaggeration there. I stared at it for so long, trying not to breathe and failing miserably. Minutes before sunrise, the sobbing stopped, and I watched as its shadow hunched down on all fours and crawled away. Austin snored about an hour past sunlight, then finally woke up fully refreshed. I never went back to sleep. I didn't even move until Austin stood up from his sleeping bag and walked outside to pee. Without a word, I got dressed and again started packing everything. I did not tell Austin what had happened that night, and he didn't stop me from getting our things together this time. It wasn't until the quiet drive home that Austin finally said something. "Are you all right, man?" he asked me. "Yeah, could be better, though," I replied. "I heard you last night," he sighed. "What do you mean?" I felt confused. "Well, I heard you crying last night." Number 15.